LGBTQ nonprofits scramble in 2025. This is TFG Unbuttoned.
It's the Focus Group Unbuttoned with Tim Bennett and John Nash, an off-the-cuff take on politics, pop culture, and current events.
Hello, everybody. Tim Bennett here, as always, with my good friend and co-host, Mr. John T. Nash. We are TFG Unbuttoned, the companion podcast to our show, The Focus Group, with Tim Bennett and John Nash. Find all of our media housed at focusgroupradio.com. You'll also find some of our partners there, including Critics' Choice Video, who have been with us since we started here on TFG Unbuttoned. Be sure to click on them and start shopping away for some great media and other items that they offer. So how are you, Mr. Nash?
I'm doing very well. We've cruised past the Super Bowl. And you and I are going to talk about Super Bowl spots and the things we saw during the game on the Focus Group, which drops in video form on Wednesdays, right?
Yep.
But could we talk about the game itself for a second?
Well, as a Philly fan, I love the game.
It was a rout, right? It was a rout.
Yeah. Well, you know, they finally, so I think going into halftime, it was 17-0, but then it got at one point to 40-6. And then they ended up gaining, I guess they got up to almost 20 points, so it didn't look so bad, but it would have been impossible for them to come back on the Eagles. But I enjoyed it. But I've lived in Philly and I was an Eagles fan, so for me, I enjoyed it. And I thought the Chiefs overall, listening to pundits and whatever, were somewhat cocky, so I always kind of like when the underdog comes through.
I mistaken? Didn't they, the Chiefs win the Super Bowl last year?
Yeah, they had won two in a row, and they beat Philadelphia in one of the two in a row. And so they would have been, so the projection was they were going to win, and they'd be the first team ever to do a three-peat.
Three in a row, that's what it was, okay.
Yeah, so the Eagles stopped that, which, so I'm sure Claire McCaskill on MSNBC is upset. But,
And then there was a lot of attention paid to Travis Kelce. He arrived. Did you see the outfit he arrived in? I didn't realize that a lot of the football players, pro hockey, pro football, a lot of them, if you pay attention to what they wear arriving to the stadium, there's a lot of fashion statements being made. But he looked like someone out of the 1970s.
Oh, really?
Almost like a leisure suit kind of thing with big glasses. Of course, you know, the thing that I just marvel at is that the president of the United States has time to say something about Taylor Swift or, you know, like, but we know what we're dealing with here, right?
He was there. I was surprised they only showed him for 10 seconds, during the Pledge of Allegiance. But as you said, we'll cover our favorite ads or not favorite ads at the show on our Wednesday show. Quick question for you, John. I was asked this. I had an argument with Richard about laundry, and I said I was going to ask you on the show. So how often do you think, or how often do you wash your bath towel? So you take a shower, whatever, you come out, you wipe yourself clean. I usually hang it up to dry. How often do you wash yours, or should you think you should
I just change the towels routinely about, like, I want to say every 5 days, maybe.
Yeah, so a little less than once a week.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where I was. Oh, no, not in this house. It's like every time you use it. I think that's crazy.
Well, the logic of changing it every time you use it would be if you never wiped yourself after number two.
Oh.
And you never, and you basically just used a garden hose and kind of rinsed yourself off, but you didn't clean anything else on your body. Then you had to, like, because if you're wiping deodorant off, you know what I'm getting at? Like, when you come out of the shower, you are technically just taking water off your body, which is clean. Right?
Well, what drives me crazy, where this came to a head, is we have our own bathrooms. And so I'll be in there brushing my teeth or whatever, and then go to jump in the shower and come out and the towel's gone. I'm like, where the hell's the towel? And I said to him, while I appreciate you changing out the towel, I'd like you to replace it, because otherwise now I'm now running around looking for a towel. And then we got into an argument. I said, and you also don't need to take it and wash it every time it's used. But, you know, he's uber clean freak. So, but anyway, so you and I agree. I think it goes back to my days in college when you would do laundry once a week. You know, do your towels, you do, you know, you do your clothing, whatever. But because I used to wash my jeans probably more frequently than I should have back in the day.
Yeah, but, yeah, that the jean thing is fascinating. I remember once I went to G-Star and I was looking at a pair of jeans and the guy says to me, now, you know, you should barely wash these. And we had this whole conversation about jeans, and he said, it doesn't matter what pair you own or who makes them. If you're going to wash them inside out, cold water, he goes, and you'd be, he said, you don't have to do this, but he goes, air drying is great. I never put my jeans through a dryer.
No.
And as a result, they fit the way they would fit when I bought them in a store.
I put them in the dryer to tighten them up a little bit sometimes, but
you know, stretch. That helps. And I remember once I was visiting my friend Chris, who teaches up at Williams College, and he's from France actually, and he had this thing in his apartment. It looked like some kind of crazy aerial antenna. It was a closed drying rack, but it opened up, and I'm like, Chris, everything was on there: underwear, socks, shirts, everything that had gone through the laundry. And I said, what is this? Don't you use a dryer? He goes, oh, you Americans, you're obsessed with dryers. He said, remember, in Europe, we pay for energy, and it's expensive. He says, and if you go to a French home, he said, most have a washing machine, but very few have dryers. Everything's air dried.
And have ice either.
Yeah. Well.
No ice.
As a result, he said, clothing lasts longer if you don't dry it. And you know, that's absolutely true.
Boy, you sound like my grandmother in Canada now. I told you when we got her a dryer, she refused to use it. She used it once.
Are you serious?
She was a Brit and came to Canada. And my mother was explaining to her about, because she would do the same thing. She had this kind of look like an antenna you'd have on the roof and all the clothes hanging on it.
And oh, my God. Okay.
So they get her, they go to Sears and they get this, which was impossible in Nova Scotia to get this dryer installed and whatever. And my mother shows her how to use it, and she does one. We're there, and she does one load and dries it. And my mother shows her how to clean out the lint filter. And my grandmother takes the handful of lint. She goes, see this? It's a conspiracy. This is so Sears sells more clothes. It eats your clothes. She never used it again.
I got to tell you, I feel like I'm somehow spiritually connected here.
Yeah, no, you are. She also threw things away all the time, like you do. Same thing. So you two are related. That's probably why we get along a little bit.
And let me just say, for homeowners who are listening, one of the smartest things you could ever do is to make sure you always clean the lint trap after each and every time you use your dryer. We had a Sears guy come by to replace a belt. Our dryer upstate is as old as, well, it was there before we bought the house. The house, we've had it for 20-some years. Simple spin thing, electric. And he came to fix the belt, and he had the dryer pulled out and he had the back off. And he said, come here, I want to show you something. And first we were laughing about the fact that he could actually access the dryer. We had this whole conversation about the houses he goes to repair this stuff, the hoarders, the whole bit. He goes, I can't believe I could just move this, get back here, do my job. He goes, this is fantastic. He goes, see this here? He goes, see how clean this is? Do you clean the lint trap after every? I said, oh, all the time. This thing is going to last forever. He said, if you keep that up, it's going to last forever. This is what destroys the machine. And that's the number one cause of house fires. So I'm a slave to the lint trap.
Oh, there we go. A lot of helpful hints. Focus group helpful household hints for the day. So we have three stories here on TFG Unbuttoned. The first one we teased with the opening. The actual headline is Major Layoffs Coming at the Human Rights Campaign. Whew, there's gambling in River City.
Yeah.
So the Human Rights Campaign, many of you know it as the HRC, is a political pack, I guess, or a how would you describe them, John?
It's not a political action committee, but Human Rights Campaign has definitely been, at least since Tim and I've known them, since Elizabeth Birch was at the helm. Their primary mission is to work with senators and representatives from the House and the Senate, government organizations, behind the scenes, whatever, to advance the agenda, or at least to put visibility in front of these people.
Right. For the LGBTQ community. Yeah. And so they're following along with, we reported a couple weeks back, I think, that the Trevor Project is also going through a bit of a reorg and laying people off. GLSEN, which is the Gay Lesbian Education and Straight Network, I think is the actual or the actual pronunciation of it, is also going through a 60% layoff, which I was surprised to hear. It's the Lesbian Straight Education Network. And so I was reading through this, and the more I read through it, the more I was somewhat confused, but they're going to lay off about 50 employees this week. It's going to be the start of their new fiscal year in April. It will bring them down to about 180 staff members. Yet for the last 8 years, they've actually had record
fundraising
going on, but their expenses are more than what they fundraise. So for instance, last year, they raised our total expenses stood around $89 million versus $85 million that they raised. But when they looked at all the decline, it was about a $12 million gap. And I just scratched my head and thought, what are you spending the money on that you can't survive on $90 million each year, right?
Well, you could look up, you could pull up their tax returns are public knowledge, public right. information because of their 501c3 status. I think the last time I checked, and I shouldn't even say it, but I think we have some salaries at the executive levels that are pretty high. And they push back, whenever that's brought up, they push back by saying, these individuals need to be where other people are of that level of importance. Mm-hmm. I'm not so sure about that. The B is they have a very expensive building to maintain in Washington. Mm-hmm. So it's not like they're renting space and they could downsize or upsize as need be. They have a building they have to take care of, so it's an asset. And then there's all the outreach efforts to raise the money. And you and I spoke about this the other day. I got a call from, I actually answered the phone one day. I thought it was my doctor calling. It was HRC. I'd given in the past. Why am I not giving now? I had this interesting back and forth with the guy on the phone who was reading a script by and large. And I said, hey, I began bringing up specific things that were happening with anti-DEI, it was before the election, anti-DEI initiatives. What are they doing about this? Where's their public voice? I mentioned the guy who was using their list, the Corporate Equality Index, and picking off company by company and attacking them for their principles. And to my surprise, the volunteer who was raising the money didn't really know about any of this. No. And then he pushed back strong when I said, you know, by the way, I'm not sure $250,000 salary for the head executive, and I made that up. I don't know if that's the number.
Probably low.
Is warranted given what's going on. And no, they got to be where you know, you got to be Rolex to Rolex. You got to be you know, rubbing elbows with the people that are making these decisions. I'm like, okay. I don't want to make it sound like you and I are gloating over this or anything, but we have legitimate questions as to, outside of the Corporate Equality Index and a few other things, up until this administration, I guess they could count on the backing of corporations and the friendly vibes there, which have changed significantly, right?
Yeah, well, they said their current programming is unsustainable. And there's a bunch of word salad that they put out that I didn't quite understand. That Kelly Robinson is the new head. She put out some press releases that I just shook my head at. Because as I look at it, they failed at the trans bathroom issue. They failed at the drag queen story hour. They failed, as you said, of upholding some of the DEI initiatives at corporations. And then they go on and on later in the story saying that, you know, things really aren't all that bad and that they just had a Corporate Equality 100 Awards in New York where 600 corporate partners came together to celebrate getting a perfect score. So I was like, oh, everyone got together. The old adage, who brought the chips? And I thought, this is all bullshit because you had over 600 people there of the 1,400 businesses that got a perfect score. You and I have said this over and over again. In my opinion, less than five probably deserved a perfect score because where is their consumer-facing message to let the consumer know they're welcome and open for business? How much of these perfect score businesses, in quote, have spent money on either LGBTQ on media or agencies, or actual consumer advertising? Less than five, I would guess. So what are they measuring? They have internal programs. They all sit around, jerk each other off with internal programs, raising money. But really, what are they doing? I can't put my finger on it. It reminds me of a religious organization or similar to the Catholic Church, right? You put out a lot of PR, but nothing changes.
And to wrap up, to not, you know, to wrap this
I'm tuned
one
up.
Well, no, but to wrap this story up, the HRC is devoted to supporting the LGBTQ plus community, but I don't want to get blowback for this, and I'm just saying this in a matter of fact way. The T is what's getting the most attention in our culture right now. The L and the G, like the plain old vanilla gay and lesbian and gay stuff, right? Those are, a lot of us were there when HRC was formed, and it was for gay and lesbian initiatives. Now, I appreciate the addition of the letters, the broadening of the sense of social justice and what we're doing, but I think ignoring the fact that the heat is coming in that direction and either being a far more directed in pushing back against that, I don't know. I think there's something in there. I'm not anti-trans or anything like that. I just think that
you're being nice, though, John. It's less than 1% of the quote-unquote issue, right? It's what Trump, when he signed his executive order about girls in or men and girls sports, in quotes,
you,
right?
You said it was like four or five people.
Five people, yeah. Of 530,000 athletes, but he's made it the issue, and that's where I said I actually wrote here in the margin on the story. I said HRC still doesn't get it because what they plan to do with this additional fundraising and reorg is we're going to develop new storytelling initiatives to highlight the real impact of this anti-LGBTQ policies. And what are they all about? Trans
issues. Yeah.
So they're going down, they're heading right down into the road again that Trump and the conservatives are looking for, because it's a triggering issue and it's something everybody is not familiar with or can figure out. And the HRC is not able to tell the story and hasn't told the story. So I don't know. I all of these groups to me really need a major reboot. So
and some people with marketing and advertising, professional marketing and advertising,
you know, the
yeah.
PR word salads and looking for money like you got your phone call and all the other nonsense. They've lost sight of what they're supposed to do. It's similar to when we talked about Trevor. Rather than being a suicide prevention hotline, they were going to be doing 30-minute documentaries.
Yeah, mission
really?
Creep. And yeah.
Anyway, okay. So next topic. The
this which is totally different, folks. Great to hear this one.
So this was, I don't know if you saw, we had talked about it, probably joked about it, but somebody had bought a Subaru Outback, a used Subaru Outback from a Mazda dealership in Salt Lake City. The headline is, upset guy who crashed his just-bought Subaru into dealer showroom faces felony charges. So this guy, this was all over social media. I couldn't quite understand what he said, but essentially he bought a used Subaru Outback. This is 35-year-old guy from a Mazda dealership in Salt Lake. And after he had it for a couple of hours, he saw that it had mechanical problems, which he said were not disclosed by the dealer. So he called the dealership and said, I'm going to bring the car back. I want a refund. And they told him no. So he said, well, I'm going to drive it right through the showroom, which he did. It's on social media. I don't know if you've seen the video, but he essentially stepped on it and drove right through the showroom. Thankfully, nobody was hurt, but you could see the people all scrambling as he blew through the showroom with this Outback. As somebody said, it couldn't have been too bad if he got through the dealership, through the glass. But they're now denying, saying that, in fact, they were going to try to work with him and give his money back. But now he's going to be, or he's been charged with a couple of felonies and could spend up to 15 years in prison. I doubt it. But it's going to cost some money to fix the dealership and pay some of these fines. Did you see the video, John?
I did. I still don't know what the mechanical problem was that was not disclosed. You know, there we go. But I was like, oh my God, this is crazy, right?
Yeah. So
80 some. Did you just say the number was 82,000 for the?
Well, 85,000 to repair the dealership. He drove right through the plate glass. Yeah. You know what dealerships look like, right? So if you're listening, but. And it's all over social media if you want to Google it. But he literally drove the car right through the windows of the dealership. The people are at their desks or whatever. And then he gets out and it's like, I told you I'd bring it back.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love, and my favorite is in the YouTube video, the picture, the desk that he pushes, like there's a desk that gets pushed away. It's such a typical dealer setup. There's an adding machine on it. There's a couple post-it notes. The desk looks cheap, like it looks like it's falling apart or something.
Free car rack.
Yeah. Just, I don't know. This is, it would never occur to me to drive a car through a plate glass window, but that's just me.
Yeah. Well, you're nice, see?
Yeah. Well, same.
Yes. Our third story, I saw this pop up and I just laughed because I know, I'm not even going to ask you if you would go on this cruise because I know the answer would be no. You don't like a big cruise anyway, but the headline is Big Nude Boat Sets Sail from Miami. Americans strip off for an 11-day naked cruise, but fondling is prohibited. So the so Norwegian Cruise Lines put together, I guess, this nudist cruise that left last week out of Miami. It's 11 days, going to go through the Caribbean. And it's all nudists, and people were spending up to $33,000 for deluxe accommodations. But I'm sure if we wanted to go last minute, John, we could have gone for a couple thousand bucks. And so it's a nudist cruise. There's going to be a large buffet for nude outdoor dining. Although if you're inside the dining room, you've got to wear clothes. You should have a towel if you're going to be sitting on other furniture.
Anything. By the way, a towel to sit on, anything.
So it says anything.
Well, then it doesn't say anything, room. But it says chairs and line. I'm like, anything.
Then it says fondling is fondling or inappropriate touching is prohibited.
Mm-hmm.
And I did laugh at the very end where they said
you nailed it. I was just going to say the entire article comes down to the two paragraphs at the end.
Share that with it.
Well, it says here, Bare Necessities has already chartered more than 75 nude cruises, but one passenger spoke out about his experience. Quote, cruises seem to be for people who like to eat and lie around, so there were a lot of large people, the 67-year-old man admitted. Also, most people don't seem to be comfortable being nude in public until later in life, so the crowd was older. I'd say 20% attractive, 20% average, 60% unattractive, he added.
Would you go on a nude cruise? You're going to say no.
You couldn't pay me enough.
I might go to see what's going on.
You couldn't pay me enough for that. It doesn't hold any appeal to me. You know, nudity.
See,
great.
I think we would have fun sitting there in our lounge chair with a pina colada, watching it go by. Don't you think?
Well, you know, Tim, you have a point. You don't have to be nude, right?
No.
You can wear bathing. I actually think bathing suits are sexy. I could imagine what's underneath. I don't need to see it. But yeah, I guess in that spirit, if we went sort of undercover and just went clothed, you know, it could be hilarious. But I just don't know. Let's say you're talking to someone who's like a mechanical engineer and they're sitting there and they're naked. I don't know.
Well, yeah, that's it. The crew too. Can you imagine the crew? I mean, the story, because you love to talk to the crew. Can you imagine the story?
Back of house.
The crew? Back of the house. And then I would love to see the dance party because, you know, there's going to be a dancing and you know, I don't know. I think we should book one and maybe we'll call Norwegian and see if they're looking for. We'll do the podcast from there. Bare Necessities.
You got a point there. We've done stuff with NCL in the past, and they might say, "Hey guys, come on board." All right, that's going to do it for us here on TFG Unbuttoned. We thank you for joining us, and we want to remind you to stay tuned for the focus group, which drops later in the week, video form Wednesdays, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on YouTube and Facebook Live. And if you're an audio-only listener, it will drop into your feed of choice on Saturday. A big thanks to our partner here, Critics' Choice Video, America's classic movie and TV authority since 1987. You can visit them by visiting us, focusgroupradio.com, and clicking on the Critics' Choice Video logo. Please be safe, everyone. Have a great week, and we'll see you here next time on TFG Unbuttoned.
It's the Focus Group Unbuttoned with Tim Bennett and John Nash, available every Tuesday. Learn more about Tim and John, Unbuttoned, and all of the Focus Group platforms at focusgroupradio.com.